Reverend, we are well aware that our only hope in this age, in fact, of the whole mankind, is that God will intervene and the saints will be resurrected to rule with Jesus Christ. In fact, that is well prophesied, for instance, in Daniel 2 and in Daniel 7, where it says those 10 kings, those toes of the statue in Daniel 2, they will be destroyed by a rock or a stone which was made not by human hands, which represents Jesus Christ. And then in Daniel 7, it also says that the kingdom will be given to the saints. So we as the saints, in other words, we as the resurrected beings in the kingdom of God will be ruling over the physical human beings living on earth. Let me state that very clearly so that there's no confusion. The resurrected saints, which will be in the first resurrection, will be spirit beings, which can obviously appear in a physical form, and they will rule. They will be the governors. They will be the teachers of the world tomorrow, governing and teaching over human beings that have survived all the bad things that are going to happen. And so, there will be on earth two different types of beings. One is, God willing, you and I, after the change, as spirit beings, and those that have survived, and let's say our children, that will be living as physical human beings, growing and living in the world tomorrow, living a happy, joyful, fulfilling life. And this will be possible because Satan would have been put away and he will not be deceiving mankind. And this will only happen when Christ comes back, because currently is in heaven until the time that the Father decides for him to come down. Right? No man knows the day or the hour until the time that the Father decides that Christ must come and rule. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. Here we have Peter's sermon, and he is saying, repent, therefore, and be converted. In other words, change. Stop sinning, that your sins may be blotted out, and so that the times of refreshing may come from, in other words, because of the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus Christ, who has preached to you before, whom heaven must receive. You see, so Christ is in heaven now, and heaven, he's waiting there until the Father tells him, go. And he says, so he's there until the times of restoration of all things. When the Father says to the Son, Jesus Christ, go, that will be the time of restoration of all things. And you know what? it'll take 1,000 years to restore the earth to a paradise. It will not be a magic wand. It will take hard work and time. When that is restored, and in the process of restoration and of that spreading of that kingdom and that peace, we will see what is described in Isaiah 11. So turn with me to Isaiah chapter 11. And we start reading from verse 6. The wolf shall also dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. That even the nature of animals will be changed. Even the nature of animals will be changed. The cow and bear shall graze, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. I mean, Kathy and I, with that opportunity of being in areas where we can see lions, and we can see them eating, and I tell you, they don't eat straw. I can assure you that. They love a good big chunk of meat, and boy, oh boy, they go at it. And don't you get near while they're eating meat. Ask her. She knows. So, the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play on the cobra's hole. So a little child, which is nursing, pretty young, will go there and go into the hole, and there's a snake, and it's not bitten. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain. What is a mountain? Oh, well, we all know what a mountain is. In Spanish, it's a sierra, right? A big sierra. But a mountain in the Bible means a kingdom, a government. And so they will not hurt or destroy in my kingdom, in the kingdom of God. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. And you know what? Aren't we supposed to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? The earth will be full of the knowledge of Christ, because He's the image of the Father. As the waters cover the sea. And that is not the case today. That is not the case today. Today, the earth is full of the knowledge of a false Christ, not of the Lord. Think about it. The earth is full of the knowledge of a false Christ. And so what we have is that in that day, as we read in verse 10, there shall be a root of Jesse. In other words, a descendant of Jesse, which is, Jesse was the father of David, and the descendant of Jesse and David is Jesus Christ. He is the root, capitals. That's Jesus Christ, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him. Not just the Israelites, the Gentiles shall seek him. And his resting place shall be glorious. So what do we have here? Is a new world order in today's modern lingua. In today's modern language. By the way, lingua means tongue, right? Today's modern language. In today's way of speak, That is the new world order that will bring peace to earth, which is the government of God under the leadership of the King of Kings, which is Jesus the Christ, and under the leadership of those resurrected saints, which God willing will be you and I. And in that day, it shall come to pass, in verse 11, that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left. And when was the first time? The first time was when the Israelites were in Egypt. And they left Egypt to the promised land. And you and I call that the Exodus. Right? That was the first time. The second time is the second Exodus. But they will not come out of Egypt alone. They'll come out from everywhere. The Lord shall set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt and Pathros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamah and islands of the sea. Let me read the thing another way. Instead of reading with the names of that time, let me read it with names that mean something to you. So instead of Assyria, let's call it Central Europe. And Egypt, you know where Egypt is. From Pathros and Cush, that is Sudan, Ethiopia. From Elam, that's Iran. From China, it's Iraq and northeast Syria. From Hamath, that's northwest Syria. And the islands of the sea, which includes Britain, Australia, New Zealand, and areas far off. Brethren, he will then, verse 12, he'll set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. And we know it will not be just Judah, it will be the whole Israel. So, brethren, there will be a second Exodus. There will people come back in. So we're looking at how will God restore the earth to a paradise during that period of 1,000 years. And the first step is that second Exodus. Bringing the people from where they were dispersed all the way around the world, and they'll come. Look at Leviticus 25, verse 9 and 10. Then, when they come, or the trumpet will sound, saying, all right, now it's time to come. He says, then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, which is on the Day of Atonement. You see, Christ has come back. The evil armies will be being destroyed that were being gathered together at Armageddon. Satan will be put away. And now the trumpet can be blown. But now it's not the trumpet of the Day of Trumpets. It's the trumpet of the 10th day of Jubilee. To sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, You shall make a trumpet to sound throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land. The biggest jubilee of them all will be that time when Christ comes and the trumpet will be blown and the whole Israelitish people will know. Because the two witnesses would have told them, well, no, it's time to go. It's the second Exodus. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords has come. And now it's time for us to go to the Promised Land. And it will be far greater than the first Exodus. Far greater than the first Exodus. That will be the second Exodus. It says, it shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. Yes, that will then be remembered every 50 years. I can't think that the Israelites ever really kept the jubilee in Old Testament. And that's why today they don't know which is the year of the jubilee. I am confident that the year that Christ comes back is the year of Jubilee. But no man knows the year because Israelites have not been keeping it. Now look at another prophecy of the second Exodus in Isaiah 27, verse 12 through 13. Isaiah 27, verse 12 and 13. 12 and 13. And it shall come to pass in that day. Now, which is that day? It's not the day of trumpets, but it's the day of the Jubilee. All right? But it is that time, right, that the Lord will thresh from the channel of the river to the brook of Egypt, and you will be gathered one by one. Now when they came out of Egypt, did they come out one by one? No, they came out as a group. Now, they'll come out one by one from all over the world, and God will bring them and protect them and will bring them together. Oh, you children of Israel, you can see it's not just Judah. So it shall be in that day, the great trumpet will be blown, and they will come who are about to perish in the land of Assyria, and they who are the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and you shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem. So, brethren, look at another scripture in Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Starting in verse 5 through verse 8. Jeremiah 23, verse 5 through 8. Behold, the days are coming, says the Eternal, that I'll raise to David a branch of righteousness. Who is the branch of righteousness of David? A king shall reign and prosper. That is Christ. He's the branch. And shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. Brethren, that's our only hope. regrettably, his name is not on the ballot. But that's who we vote for. That's who we support. The King of Kings. But he will come and reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness on the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. So as we look into that millennium, so Judah first and then all of Israel and then other nations, as we'll see. And now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Who's the Lord? Yahweh. Yeah, who's Yahweh? Yeah. It's Jesus the Christ, the coming Lord and King of Kings. Therefore, the days are coming, verse 7 says the Lord, that they shall no longer say, so people will no longer talk about the following. As the Lord lives, who brought up the children out of Israel from the land of Egypt. In other words, oh, as God lives, we brought the Israelites out of Egypt. That will no longer be said. What will be said instead? But, verse 8, as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from the countries where I driven them to. And they shall dwell in their own land. In other words, people will no longer talk just about the first Exodus. The first Exodus that you and I talk about and you think it was so great will be paled into insignificance when this will happen. What an amazing prophecy it is. And think about it. I think about it when you got refugees. You know, you got implications of water, sewerage, health, food, employment, schools. They will build a new society. It will not be like refugee camps. It will be well organized. And there will be a team of well-trained beings, you and I, there to help them and to organize them and to get them going. That will be our job initially. So therefore, we as spirit beings have a major role to play as you and I are being trained now. And we'll be helping physical human beings that would have gone through the ravages of war with whatever it is, post-traumatic syndromes and whatever else they have. And we'll have a job under Christ to establish rule and order and an environment for growth on planet Earth. You see, you know about the story that apostles had a vision of Christ. And if you turn into Matthew 16, let's look at that vision of Christ coming back in his kingdom. Matthew 16, verse 28. It says, assuredly I say to you, there are some standing here, not all of you, some, who shall not taste death till you see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So Christ was talking to his apostles and saying, some of you are going to see Christ coming back in his kingdom. Now think about this to a Jewish mind. They were waiting for a Messiah to rule. And some of you will see the Messiah ruling, so, man, that is going to happen soon. And indeed, it did happen soon, but not the way they thought about it. Because what they saw the Son of Man coming, but they saw it in a vision. In other words, it's like, think about it, it's like a movie looking forward to what's going to happen. Like a trailer. You know, just an idea of what's going to happen. In fact, happened 6 days later. Look at the next verse, which is chapter 17, verse 1. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John. And led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. So they saw in a vision, like in a trailer of something to happen in the future, they saw Christ in his power with these two top men working under him. And he says, and he said, he's transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. And behold, his two top men, Moses and Elijah, appeared to them talking with him. And then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, if it is good for us to be here, if you wish, let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. So they are missing the point, because he is giving them a lesson about the kingdom of God. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came from the cloud saying, a voice sent by the Father. But it was not the Father's voice. It was a voice, because it says, no man has heard the Father. So it was a voice saying, it was a message saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, do not be afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell this vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. In other words, this is confidential. Do not tell anybody until I'm resurrected. But what they had is a vision of the two major branches of leadership under Jesus Christ. One, representing, as we know, from Revelation 19, which says, you'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So one representing kings, and the other one representing lords. Kings being Moses, because he was a ruler, and under him we know there will be David and other kings. David will only be over the 12 tribes of Israel, but there are also lords under Elijah. So we can see two major branches of government, one church and the other state. And in fact, quote unquote, a separation of church and state, but working together. And they will fully cooperate. And they will have responsibilities in that wonderful world tomorrow of leading in the government, in the governing of society, and in religion. And in the government includes the judiciary system, the law system. They will be teaching people God's principles. principles of marriage, principles of child rearing. In other words, God's way of life. And so think about it. That will affect large areas such as agriculture with quote-unquote organic food production. The land Sabbath. It will affect industry because that will affect technology and science. It will also affect business and commerce, such as the land Sabbath, which is after 7 years, all debts will be cleared. And therefore there will be none of those economic bubbles, because everything is kind of reset every 7 years, economically speaking. And so it will affect worldwide economics. Are those two branches of government? Question. What it's meant by the two loaves of Pentecost? It's possible. Look at Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. Verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 9. Breaking out into this prophecy about what the Lord is saying. And he says, "But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up." So yeah, it's talking about a time when David will be resurrected. And so David will rule over the 12 tribes of Israel. And who will rule under David? Look at Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Verse 28. Matthew 19, verse 28. So Jesus said to them, "Surely I say to you that in the regeneration," in other words, when this new world comes, "and the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory," in other words, during the time of the kingdom of God reigning on earth, you who have followed me, in other words, you, the apostles, who have followed me, will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So King David will have 12 men under him, each one having rulership over one of the tribes of Israel. So the 12 apostles will rule over the 12 tribes, and the King David, which will be under Moses, which will be under Christ, which will be under God the Father. And you know, where will you and I be? Where will you and I be? Look at Matthew 25. Look at Matthew 25. Verse 14. Here we have the parable of the talents. And you know, in the parable of the talents, it says the servants came, and this man traveling to a far country, which represents Christ, gave the servants to one, he gave 5 talents. To another one, he gave 2 talents. And so on. So to us, representing Christ, he gave to us as his servants, some he gave certain number of talents, or abilities, or capabilities, and to another one, gave certain talents or abilities or capabilities. And the one that had 5 talents said, "Yeah, Lord, I'm giving you back not 5, but 10. So what has he done while Christ went to heaven? And when he comes back, at our resurrection or change, have we multiplied our abilities and talents by 100%? That's what it means. From 5 to 10 is 100% growth. Have you had 100% growth? And the one that had 2 ended up with 4. What is that? 100% growth. Are you going to have growth? And so he said to them, look at verse 15. We read that, I mentioned that already. And after a long time, verse 19, he came back and settled accounts. What do you mean settled accounts? He gave the rewards. It was a time of giving the rewards to the people. In other words, you and I get resurrected, God gives us the rewards and gives us the responsibilities, puts us in our positions to rule. As I mentioned to you, when you look at Revelation, it shows very clearly that Christ will come to judge the dead, to reward the saints, and punish those that destroy the earth. As I mentioned in the day of trumpets, that scripture in Revelation. And so there'll be a time where we'll be given our rewards and we'll be given our positions and everything will be decent and in order and we know exactly what our responsibilities will be. That's the time of setting the accounts. And it says, I had 5, he has another 5. And he says, the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a little. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. In other words, enter into the kingdom of God and I will be giving you a position of rulership. With far greater rulership because you're a productive person. You're not sitting on your backside saying, oh, well, I only have 1 talent and therefore I've done nothing with it. Because that's the one that only had 1 talent and they did nothing with it. You know what he should have done? He should have grown by 100%. And that is from 1, make 2. You still would have had 100% growth. So if you only have 1 little talent, don't dig it, but use it and multiply it. Because the growth will be according to your labor and your work. So if you only have 1 talent, use it. But look at it in a different way. Luke chapter 19. You see, on that parable, they grew by 100%. Both of them had 100% growth. 100% return on the investment. Let's put it in today's modern words. But on the parable in Luke 19, the parable of the minas, or this big, big, powerful gold coin, you can see starting in verse 11, okay, that there's a certain nobleman went into a far country, which represents Christ, went to heaven, and he called his citizens, or rather his servants, and gave them 10 minas, and was 10 servants, which means each one had an equal share of talents, an equal share of capabilities. They all had the same starting point. Now, one that had 1, he earned 10. You know what growth is that? That's 1,000% growth, return on investment. That's what it is. 1,000% return on investment. And the other one earned 5. That's 500% return on investment. And what did he say? You that earn 10, you'll rule over 10 cities. and you that earned 500% growth, you will rule over 5 cities. You see, now the reward was not equal, but the reward was greater to the one that earned more. And they all only had one. So think about the example on Matthew 25. There's that guy that had one and sat on it and did nothing with it. And these also had one and multiplied it and ended up with 10. So if you and I only have one talent in this life, multiply it. And you know what that means? That means you've got to work. You've got to apply yourself. That means you can't sit and say, oh, poor me, I only got one talent, and look at all the abilities the other one has. He's got 5 talents and I got nothing. I only got one. I can't do anything. Put it and sit on it. And you read Matthew 25, and if you sit on it, what's going to be your reward? Go back and read. But if you only have one, and you multiply it and use it and be positive, like we heard in the sermonette, make it go. Make a go of it. You can get a big reward. And you only had one. So some of us in the world tomorrow will be kings of the cities. Some will be kings over counties. Some will be kings over all districts. Some will be kings over states, depending on how you have produced, depending on your fruits. You'll be rewarded according to your fruits. Now, eternal life is a gift to them all. But the degree of rulership that you will have will be according to your works. There's a difference. Eternal life is a gift. The reward is according to your works, based proportionately to what you have produced or borne fruit. It's not very socialistic, is it? But you see, this is God's way. That's what it's talking about you. So, those people in rulership will be given judgment. So some will be ruling in some ways, in cities. Some will be judging. Some will be teachers over big school districts, others in smaller areas, depending where it fits you better, based on your desires and your abilities and your capabilities. And God knows what is better for you. And your job will be so fulfilling that you will be so happy because it's just for you. Think about the words of Christ. In many houses, in my house, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. In fact, how is He preparing a place for us? Because He's our high priest. And as we mess up and we get on our knees and go back to heaven through the veil on a new and living way, as you read in Hebrews 10, He then forgives us and helps us to actually get back on our feet so that we can have that mansion in the house. That's how He's preparing it for us, helping us. The place is there, The position is there. That's why it says elsewhere, be careful, let no man take your crown. Because if you mess up, get somebody else. Now, is God just going to be unmerciful? No. God is full of mercy. But when you mess up means that you have gotten to the point that you say, I do not want God anymore. I do not want to keep the Sabbath. I have made a deliberate decision that I don't want to do it, and I'll go elsewhere. It's not God that left you. It's you that left God. The ball is in your court. It says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And I think never means never. Right? Of course. So don't ever doubt God. Oh, what if God is going to... No, God will never leave you or forsake you. Never. Don't ever doubt that. If you doubt, you're allowing Satan's thoughts into your mind. If you doubt, you're allowing Satan's mindset in you. I'm not saying you're demon possessed. I didn't say that. Don't put those words into my mouth. I'm just saying, is you allowing your mindset to go the wrong way? Don't allow that. God will never leave you. The ball is in your court for you not to leave God. It's important for us to understand that. It's important. And so, there will be government under Moses, and there will be government under Elijah. You just go back to the story of Elijah. Do you remember the story of Elijah? After 3.5 years of drought, God told him, and he enacted on those instructions, to say, gather all the prophets of Baal and put together a sacrifice out there. And I will put together a sacrifice out here. Well, in fact, I think it was the same one, sorry. So, put a sacrifice out there. And you guys go out and pray to your God. And let him, your God, Baal, rain fire from heaven to burn that sacrifice. And they cut themselves and they went mad, let's call it this way. They went really out of this world, quote unquote, in doing things, singing and dancing. You know how these pagan things do, singing and dancing and whatever, and big things. Nothing. So Elijah said, you know, maybe your God is kind of, he's very busy. You know, he's kind of, really is so busy. Just the telephone call is not working well, so maybe make another call and do it louder. You know, because he can't hear you. Maybe he's asleep. You've got to wake him up. So go louder. And so they went even more. Nothing. And then towards the time of the evening sacrifice, like 3 or whatever time in the afternoon, they had the whole day. So Elijah said, okay guys, now it's our time to show you who the true God is. But you know, there's not enough water. Yeah, just put some more water into this thing. Just fill it up with more water. Just put more water in there. Put more. Oh, that's not enough. Put more. That water was flowing all over. I mean, if you put a little match, I mean, nothing would go there, right? And then he gave a short prayer. Brethren, you don't need a long prayer. You don't need repetitions when you pray.
He gave a short prayer.
And zap! Fire came from heaven and burnt everything. The water and the sacrifice and everything. Elijah pointed the people to the true God. Our job doing the work of Elijah today is to point people to the true God. That's what we're doing. We're doing the work of Elijah. Look at Malachi chapter 4. It says, at the end time, there will come one in the spirit of Elijah. Yes, one came pointing to true God just before Christ came, which was John the Baptist. But before the second coming of Christ, we are doing a work of Elijah. Initiated by Mr. Armstrong, yes. But we continue in that work of preaching the gospel and pointing the world to the true God. And preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God as a witness to the world. Not to convert the world, as a witness to the world. And you know what? At that time it was only Elijah. All those other prophets, they were destroyed. They'll be destroyed when Christ comes back too. All these false prophets are all over the earth. Christ will destroy them too. And ultimately, will teach all mankind. When Christ comes back, the new government is established on earth, will teach all mankind. Look at Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4. Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Micah chapter 4. Verse 1 through 5. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, this is in the world tomorrow, that the mountain of the Lord's house, in other words, the kingdom of God and the church, shall be established on top of the mountains. The kingdom of God will be over all the other nations. It will be over the states. It will be over Japan. It will be over Germany. Even over Australia. It will be over all the countries. All the nations. And it says, and shall be exalted above all the hills, or even the small little countries that you may have never heard of, Burkina Faso and others, will be over all of them. Many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go to the mountain of the Lord. Let's go to where the kingdom of God has its headquarters, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. And we shall walk in his paths. Because out of Zion, out of that area where God's church is, the law shall go forth. And the word of the Eternal from Jerusalem. And he will judge between many peoples. And rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation. That will be the kingdom of God then. Neither shall they have military academies anymore. There will be no more military academies. That's what it says. Neither shall they learn war anymore. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Eternal of hosts has spoken. For all people walk, each one in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God. Forever and ever. In other words, the church, you and I, as part of that training that you and I are receiving today as teachers. And why are you and I ideally suited as teachers? Because we've seen all these things of modern technology. We know how to use modern technology, which will be available in the world tomorrow. and we'll be able to leverage it and teach other nations, starting with Judah first, and then to Israel, and then to all other nations around the world. The government of God will expand to all nations. Read at Zechariah 14, for instance. Zechariah 14, verse 14. Zechariah 14, verse 14. Judah will also fight at Jerusalem. So Judah will be the first one who will repent, and they will fight there at the Christ's coming. But then look at it a little later in verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations, in other words, that the people that have survived of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, shall come up from year to year to worship the King, which is Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoever of the families of the earth do not come to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of Hosts, on them will be no rain. And if the family of Egypt will not come or enter in, they shall have no rain. And they shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. And so it will start from Judah, and then all of Israel, and then all the nations. Some nations will initially reject, but over time they'll start to obey. And it will spread. You can read prophecies like the minor prophets, or for instance, just read Jeremiah. Let me just mention to you a few points in Jeremiah where nations, for instance, Egypt. The Jeremiah 46 talks against Egypt, and they will be punished. And then in verse 26 of Jeremiah 46 says, it will be inhabited. They will repent, and then they'll come right. Look, for instance, at others, like for instance, Jeremiah 48 and Jeremiah 49 talks about Moab and Ammon, which are the sons of Lot. And those people, Paul says, they'll be brought back. They'll be punished first, but then they'll repent and they'll be brought back. So, the gospel, the good news, the teaching starts from Judah, goes on to the Israelitish people, then on to the others, which are neighboring countries, and it'll spread to the whole world. It gets to a point that it will even be a highway between Egypt and Assyria. A highway of righteousness. I'm not going to turn there, but for instance, in Isaiah 19, verse 19 through 24, talks about that even between Egypt and Germany, there'll be a highway of righteousness. So it will spread. But as it spreads, what happens? As it spreads, there's peace in that area, around Palestine, around Jerusalem, around that area, and those nations start having peace and prosperity. You see, when there's peace, there's no war. When there's no war and there's no corruption, there's more money to go around and there's more prosperity. And when there's prosperity, people will be wealthy, and because there's peace, they don't need walls. So there'll be cities, houses, homes without walls. Well, yeah, in this country we're kind of used to that. But you go to other countries. For a time in South Africa, you had walls, you had tall walls, some of them 6 foot high. Then you had barbed wire. And then you still had alarms. Some of the wire was electrified. And then you had beams. We had infrared beams around our house, just a little higher than a cat or a dog. But then if something crossed there, and they didn't know where it was because they couldn't see it, the alarm would go before they went into the house. And then we had an armed response that immediately they'll be there, and we had a contract, they'll have to be there within 5 minutes, and they'll phone us before they go there and say, is there a problem? Everything okay? Was it a false alarm? And they were there. And it was not the police, that was private. And we paid for that service. But in this new society, there won't be that. It'll be unwalled cities, because there's peace. And even though Satan is not around there, the people and carnal mind is still there. And there's a thing in the carnal mind that says, I am envious of what you got. I am jealous of what he's got. And so the other far outlying nations will start becoming jealous. And that's what you read in Ezekiel 38. Let's turn there, for instance, Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38. So what are we looking now is a time into the world tomorrow. I don't know how many years. Maybe 10, maybe 20, maybe 50 years. I don't know. But sometime into the beginning of the world tomorrow. And there's now peace. And the cities have become unwalled. But nations are far off. Are now jealous. And Ezekiel 38 says, and now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Russia, Meshach, and Tubal. And then he goes on. Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal, those are nations, Gog and Magog, which include Russia, which include China, which include nations far off. But it's not just those, because if you read in verse 5, it says Persia. Who is Persian? Persia is Iran, Ethiopia, and Libya. And that basically Cush and Put, which could be not only just Ethiopia and Libya, but it could be the eastern portions of those tribes, which is northern India and Pakistan. And it says Gomer and all its troops, which is probably other areas further out towards the east. Togarmah, probably areas like Siberia. And verse 8, and after many days, you'll be visited. In the latter days, you'll come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel who had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations and now they all dwell safely. So these people get jealous. And look at verse 11. And they say, you will say, I'll go up against the land of unwalled villages. I'll go to a peaceful people who dwell safely in all of them, dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. And they'll go there and says, let's go and zap them while they just, and let's take over. You see, the kingdom of God will bring peace to earth in the world tomorrow. But it will not be all in one go. It will not be all in one go. Some nations will be jealous. And look at it, verse 13. Sheba, Dan, the merchants of Tarshish, and all the young lions will say to you. In other words, those are probably people in the Mediterranean or areas of southern Europe. Tarshish is probably areas like Spain and Portugal. And those nations will say to these people, hey, why are you doing that? You are mad. Don't do that. Those nations will tell those other nations, don't attack those people. That's what it says. Have you come to take plunder? Have you gathered your army to take booty, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, and to take great plunder? It was those nations will say, hey, don't do that. But you know, when they do that, you read the rest of Ezekiel 38, they'll be destroyed by God Himself. And then all nations, look at verse 16. He says, "You'll come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. And it will be in the latter days that I'll bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me when I'm hallowed in you, O Gog, before your God, your eyes." Look at the end of verse 18, "that my fury will show in my face, and they'll be utterly destroyed. And then all nations will know, and they will know that they know that God is protecting people that obey Him. And then all nations will then obey God. And then peace will spread to the whole planet. There'll be roads, sewage, electricity, non-polluting environment. Public servants will then be public servants." That's public servants today. Are they all really public servants? "Education will be sound in all areas. Knowledge will expand. Rain will be in due season. Water will spread out from the temple and spread out to the wall and will heal the diseases. And during this millennium, the earth will reach a pinnacle of super prosperity and wealth. The earth will be restored to a paradise during that millennium." Why? Oh, so that we just have a paradise on earth? So that the earth is ready for the second resurrection. After the millennium, after the 1,000 years, billions and billions and billions of people will resurrect. They will need food. They'll need clothing. They'll need paper for basic needs. They'll need education. See, some of them come from the time before Noah. Some of them come from the time before Christ. Some of them come from the time during the 1100s and the 1200s. They didn't know what electricity was. They didn't know anything of these things. They'll have to be taught. But not only that, they'll have to be taught about Christ, the true God. And then when they taught about the true God, they'll have to study the Bible and prove it. Then they'll have to acknowledge Christ, repent, and have faith, and be baptized. And then they'll receive God's Holy Spirit. And then, as you know, the baptism is only the beginning. Then they have to overcome till the end. They have to reconcile with the brother or the uncle or the person next door that may be attacked or raped their family. And they have to reconcile with them. And that's not in 5 minutes. That is the period of the great white throne after the millennium. So why has the earth got to be restored during 1,000 years? To prepare the earth so that the earth is a paradise. Then, after the millennium, those people, billions, including the thief on the cross. Remember the thief on the cross? The thief on the cross will also be resurrected. That's Luke 23, verse 43. When Christ said, I'm telling you today, that you will be with me in paradise. When will he be with Christ in paradise? At the second resurrection. When did Christ tell him that? At that day. So Christ told him on that day, that is today, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. Where is paradise? Planet Earth. After 1,000 years or millennium of preparing the earth to be a paradise. Then in the second resurrection, the great white throne, they will be resurrected, they will be in paradise, and they will be taught God's way. And if they overcome till the end, so there's a period of time, we believe probably as long as 100 years, there will be a period of time. And at the end of that period of time of probation, right? Probation. At the end of that period of time of probation, there will be a final judgment. How did you make it? And if you made it well, good and faithful servant, inherit the kingdom. If you've not made it well, regrettably, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and they'll be going to die forever in the lake of fire. And then they'll be gone. They won't be burning forever. They'll just die forever. They'll become ashes. And then, that is the completion of the restoration, not only of the earth for 1,000 years to prepare people for the second resurrection, but then during that 100-year period will be the restoration of mankind. So Christ is in heaven now till the time of restoration of all things, including mankind. And then when that is restored, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we'll have eternity ahead. And what will be in that eternity, you and I don't know. Because God doesn't tell us in the Bible. And like I usually say, it's like a box of chocolates. You don't know what's inside it. But it will be nice. So, brethren, I want to wish you all a lovely feast. As these days give you such a great hope, please be safe on the road and have a lovely feast, and see you after the feast, some of you that I want to see you at the time.